Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sunbelt Podcast. Matt Miguez here, your Louisiana writer. Plenty to talk about this week in the Sunbelt world. We have some big games to cover this week. We have some big games to talk about from last week. Conference realignment has gotten a major update since we last recorded. And could the Sun Belt be losing one of its premier coaches? Joining me this week to break all of this down is my man Brian Stone, our Georgia Southern writer. Brian, what's going on, man?
Not much. Like you said, we do have a lot. It feels like we have more off the field stuff to talk about than honestly on the field. However, I want to do a couple minutes on a team that you do not like to talk about. So it'll be interesting when we get to recap in last week's games.
I know where this is going. I know where this is going. And that's okay, I guess. So let's go ahead and do that now. Let's recap last week in the Sun Belt. And we will start, obviously, we've already talked about the Louisiana App State game. From the timeline that we recorded last week. The following night, South Alabama, Georgia Southern, you can obviously shed a lot of light on this. South Alabama defeats Georgia Southern 41-14. You see, I probably watched the first half of this game, and I knew pretty early on that it was just over.
I mean, I'm going to level with you. I did the exact same thing. I didn't feel like there was any reason to continue watching after halftime this game.
I mean, I'm looking at the ESPN box score. Georgia Southern's leading passer was Cam Ransom, who went 2-for-12 for 63 yards.
And one of them was a completion for 46 to Amari Jones. So can I just say, I'm just going to say a couple of things and then you can chime in. Number one, I saw this coming, last week. I had a prediction that it was going to be 31-17 South Alabama. Final score was 41-14. So I wasn't terribly off. I mean, I didn't pick Georgia Southern to lose by as much as I guess I should have. They are a truly, truly terrible football team. I want to preface this by saying I have 16 days between the end of that game and their next game where I don't have to watch them play football. So I feel blessed in that realm of things. The other thing I want to throw out there is for anybody that gets like annoyed, who's in like Georgia Southern circles, who gets annoyed by the way that I talk about these players, I just want to quote what the interim coach said after the game, Kevin Whitley. He said after this game, he just wants to find 22 guys who want to play football. So if you come to me and say that I'm being too critical of the players and that they're just kids and all of this crap, the coach himself said that he doesn't think the 22 guys that start on Saturday normally want to play football enough to start for them moving forward. So, I mean, I guess credit to South Alabama. I feel pretty confident in saying Georgia Southern's the second worst team in the Sun Belt at this point.
Okay, so I'm going to stand up for the players on that comment because regardless of the scenario, whether the players have given up or not, which is totally the wrong thing, but as a coach, you just can't say that.
But he's an interim. I mean, he's probably going to be out of a job after this year anyway.
It doesn't matter. You can't say stuff like that, man.
I mean, I think the irony is not lost on me that he coaches the worst position group on the team. I mean, up until being named the interim.
Yeah, I was about to ask, what position is he on the staff?
Cornerbacks. So wait
a second.
He coached the position group that currently gives up the passing yards in the FBS.
You guys made your cornerbacks coach
interim? He was allegedly the only coach on the staff who had previous head coaching experience.
What the hell does that matter?
I don't know.
Billy Napier never had head coaching experience before coming to Louisiana.
I'm not the AD, man. I didn't make this call.
At least promote.
You're trying to rationalize something with someone who's already like thrown in the towel.
At least promote a coordinator or like a line coach, cornerbacks coach.
But our offense and defense, I'm not defending it, but our offense and defense are just so bad that I don't even think it. Like, what does it matter?
That's a participation. That's a participation position on the staff anyway.
Correct, but the offense is so bad and the defense is so bad that, like, how would you feel confident, like, promoting either coordinator at this point? I mean, I said this going into last week.
You just forfeit the rest of the games.
I don't care. Like, I really don't care. Like, if I never saw them play again until 2022, I'd be totally fine. I would continue with the rest of my year as if nothing happened. I mean, I said this when I was previewing, this game. South Alabama gives up fewer total yards than Georgia Southern gives up passing yards on defense. Like, think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's bad.
So, I mean... Like I said, credit to South Alabama. They beat up on a bad Georgia Southern team that has another 2-10 written on its face the second time since 2017. None of the players look like they care very much. And the interim's comments reflect that. If they're not very good, it just solidifies the reason they fired Chad Lunsford, because his forte was supposed to be recruiting, because it certainly wasn't calling plays. So, what do you say? Like, the hires of the last two head coaches, whether you like it or not, have set this program back like a decade. So, yeah. You know, you hire Summers, who ironically recruited very well because he brought in the team that won 10 games. He just couldn't coach to save his life. And then you name your interim the head coach, who is supposed to be a recruiter who can't recruit or coach. So as much as people want to defend him on like social media, he can't recruit and he can't coach. So what is his, what were they supposed to do? Just keep him around just because he's a nice guy.
Right. And also, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about, since we're on the subject of Georgia Southern, I know you've probably seen the news that, Wesley Kennedy III is missing.
Well, they actually located him.
Did they?
Or, like, they nailed down his location the last I saw today.
Okay. See, last I saw was an update from last night. And they had called off the search for the night and that they were going to start looking again today.
And I mean, I hadn't to seen be honest, else. Man, I just hope he's like, all right, I mean, I know that, you know, it was probably, no, so I take that back. As of an hour ago, the guy who works for one of the Savannah stations says that he's still missing. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I just hope he's all right. Honestly, like, I know he got indefinitely suspended at the end of last year because of getting arrested, but he was, like, one of the most impactful players that we had the last couple of years, and he made that team, honestly, with Shai Wirtz, worth watching. Yep. So personally, from a personal standpoint, I absolutely hope like he hasn't done anything crazy and is okay. But yeah, I mean, going back to, I mean, this team as it currently stands is a train wreck. And like, I've seen, you know, players from previous years try to defend it. And it's just like, the logic doesn't track. You can't defend this team and say like, well, they're trying really hard. Are they? Right. Like, can we verify that? Like, it's not like there's a meter at games where it's like Georgia Southern gave 75% effort meter, in this game.
Right?
Right. So it's like, yeah, I mean, again, if they didn't play again in 2021, I'd be totally fine with it. Would not care one lick.
Two games on Saturday. Troy gets a pick six late, one of three interceptions from Brady McBride to edge off the Bobcats 31-28. And then this second game on Saturday was probably the shock of the week.
So we have to talk about this game. I know you I know you don't want to talk about this game.
I don't.
But we have to talk about it.
I'm going to get a little vocal for a second. How in the hell are you a 32-point favorite to Monroe and you blow it? How?
We have to talk about it.
And Monroe's on a backup quarterback. They're on a scrub quarterback. I mean, Red Rodriguez, say what you want, he got the job because of his dad, but the kid played in the Pac-12.
Right.
They're on a backup QB. And not to mention, downright awful. I mean, go ahead and put Troy and Liberty up and on an island all by themselves and call it the island of idiots. I don't know. Like, how do you lose to Monroe?
I know you don't want to hear. I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to say it. I think they're getting better.
No,
like, I think they're getting significantly better. And
that's not what we need.
This either. I know you don't want to hear this either. But you guys, the chances of you guys losing your head coach at the end of this year is pretty high.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
If ULM continues to improve.
What are you about to say? What are you about to say?
And Louisiana has to start over.
Brian, I'm going to mute you. I'm going to mute you.
Listen, okay, I won't say it, but what I will say is...
Because I know what you're thinking. You're about to say that ULM could become the best team in Louisiana, and that's a...
No, I wasn't going to say that.
Well, okay, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, it's a little bit of, like... revenge, I guess, is not the right word, but it's the one I'm going to use. It's like there have been so many years where, like, you know, ULM was just licking the boots of every team in the Sun Belt, and now it seems like they've at least got some sense of self, like they what they want to do on either side of the ball. And I mean,
gross.
You know, they're not consistent, because I'm not going to give them that. Like, I was looking at their schedule up to this point. I mean, like, they beat Troy, which was nice, and then they lost by 53 to Coastal, and then they lost by 34 to Georgia State. And Georgia State, I mean, I'll say that
isn't great.
Not a great team. So. But I will say, I think incrementally they're getting better. So,
and I knew that they would under Terry Bowden. I knew they would. I mean, he's got.
Oh, I didn't think there was any. Just to be clear, like, I didn't think there was any chance that they were going to stay as bad as they had been.
Right.
Like, I thought they were going to get better.
You can only go up from where they were.
Right, but what I will say is, like, they're showing market improvement from even this year alone from game to game versus what you got last year, which was, like, they were just wasting people's time, essentially, is what they were doing.
I'm saying is I don't want to go back to a couple years ago where the West came down to the two of us, because that's not any fun. That's not any fun. I remember vividly 2018.
I'll say this.
Napier's first season, 2018. or was it 2019? One of those 2 years, one of Napier's first 2 years, we went up to Monroe and they missed a field goal. We won the game on them missing a field goal. And that secured,
yeah, it was a 1 point game, right?
And that secured our spot in the conference championship game.
Well, I'll say this to Louisiana Monroe's credit. I feel like the way that they've positioned their coaching staff is like they have hired such, and this is a credit to them. This is honestly not a knock, but I'm going to say it. They have hired such retreads as their head coach and OC that no one's coming to poach them. Nobody. Like, no one's coming to poach Terry Bowden and Rich Rod. So, because they know what they're getting. So they're not like coming for those guys. Those guys are going to be left alone on an island by themselves.
The island of Monroe, Louisiana.
Right. But they're not going to be one of these coastal, you know, Louisiana teams where everyone's looking and going, well, you know, Terry Bowden or Rich Rod really reinvented themselves in Monroe. Like, they're just going to leave them alone. Like, unless they win the conference, like, everyone's just going to ignore that they exist.
It's going to be reading an article about Monroe and somebody's going to go, wait, Rich Rod's still coaching?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly what they're going
to
say.
But that's kind of to the AD's credit. Like, they hired guys that no one was going to come and steal. So like, if they improve as they have been, and I mean, hand up, I thought Liberty was going to cover the spread.
Oh my
so
God,
like,
they're going to murder them.
So I was dead wrong, but what I will say is they seem to be getting better. They don't seem like the absolute dead worst team in the conference. I think Arkansas State is the worst team in the conference.
Ooh.
They have the worst. They lost to us. That's our only conference win this year.
And y'all did destroy them.
Yeah, I think it was 59-33.
No.
They have the worst defense in the FBS. I think
so ready for it Thursday night.
I think they're the worst team in the conference, and I think ULM has at least moved up to
third
or fourth.
I agree with everything you're saying about Monroe. I don't disagree with any of it. I think they are on an improving track. I think that they have done things the last two or so years the right way. However, I will say this. It is inevitable that they will not be an FBS program in 5 years. They can't afford it. Dude, I looked at the recent numbers, and I'm going to pull them up again while I'm talking just for clarification. The USA Today, they release a chart every year on athletic budgets. And I'm going to do this just for clarification. I'm going to say what Louisiana's budget is and then what UL Monroe's budget is. So according to this article, UL's budget is $30 million, which is inaccurate. But that's 105. That's 105th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Monroe, let's see, I got to scroll for a ways. 15-2.
What do they rank?
175th.
So, but here's my question. It's not going to happen this year, but if they start making bowl games regularly and start winning games on a more frequent basis and aren't like the absolute joke that they have been the last couple of years, does that get like a significant bump at all, do you think? Or is it just like going to stay how it is regardless of what happens on the field?
I think it's going to stay the way it is regardless of what happens on the field, because the market to have a fan base is just not there in Monroe.
Yeah.
They've never had great attendance. It's just you don't make money in Monroe. There's not enough business in Monroe to bring big time sponsors in order to make yourself, you know, profitable. To clarify, In terms of just football, 1, 2, 3, there are three Southland schools with bigger budgets than Louisiana Monroe. Three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, dude.
It's tough.
There's going to come a time, especially as our economy gets more and more expensive. Louisiana Monroe is not going to be able to operate. And $15 million is not their football budget. That is their athletic budget.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to operate as an FBS program on $15 million a year. You're just not.
Yeah.
I give it 5 years and they're in the Southland.
I mean, right, but I don't know, man. Like, regardless of budget, I think this Liberty victory, I mean, they could be doing something, like, really doing something, like,
with their team. Don't start that conversation.
They're not gonna beat you guys, like, this year. But, I mean, in the future, they could be...
The last thing Monroe needs.
Not the worst team in the conference every year, like, running. You know what I mean?
The last thing Monroe needs is to feel confident about themselves. Let's not do that.
I mean, if they're not the worst... I mean... To quote Alec Baldwin from The Departed, you know, if they're not the worst team in the conference every year, I mean, the world needs ditch diggers. So,
right.
Somebody's got to do it. So, I mean, whether it's Arkansas State or, you know, us or, you know, Georgia State or whoever decides to be the absolute dead worst, I mean,
yeah.
I think just by virtue of beating Troy and Liberty, I don't think they're the worst team in the conference.
No, I don't disagree. I think you're spot on with them not being the worst team in the conference anymore. Like you said, I think there's two teams below them at least.
I mean, I don't think they're an easy, like, check the box win right. Every year the way that they were. They I mean, been, they're right. At least going to, like, put up an effort. So, I mean, credit to them for that. I've kind of wanted to see them and Texas State show a little more spunk, yep. I guess is the word. Yeah, no doubt. Every year, I want them to at least be competitive in games. I don't want them losing 59-0 every time they play a conference opponent.
Right. Four games this week in week 8. Crazy to think that we're already in week 8. It starts tomorrow night, Wednesday night, ESPN2, 6:30 kickoff from Boone, North Carolina, as the number 14 Coastal Carolina Chanticleers take on 4-2 App State. Coastal listed as a 4.5 point favorite on the road.
Coastal.
See, I got App.
Winning outright or covering the 4.5?
Winning outright.
Why?
I think that after the game with Louisiana last week, App is going to be so pissed off that they're going to need to make a statement. They're at home. They're on TV. This game, a win in this game keeps them alive for a conference championship spot.
See, this is the thing for me. You could have made this exact same argument in 2020, and it still turned out the way it turned out. You know what I mean? Like, App and Coastal were going into the same exact circumstances last year, and Coastal still beat them.
Yeah, but they didn't beat them by much.
Right, but I think App got worse at the quarterback position.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
But...
And Coastal has, what, the best tight end in the country, probably the best quarterback, top to bottom in the Sun Belt. Defense is good. What is App going to do to attack? I mean, you watched the game last weekend. Like, what is, or, you know, last what, Thursday?
Tuesday.
What is App going to do Tuesday? What is App going to do to attack Coastal that Coastal hasn't seen before?
Whether they've seen it or not, I don't know. I got a feeling.
But they're going to run the ball up the middle 40 times and like hope that Chase Bryce doesn't have to throw the ball. And Coastal's going to be like, no, 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 no. You're going to need to throw it to beat us. And it's like, if I'm Coastal, I'm sticking 8 guys in the box and hoping Chase Bryce throws the ball.
I have a feeling. I know that the odds are totally against App. I have a feeling. Like I said, at home.
I mean, I thought you guys would beat App last week, and I thought it would be close, but
I didn't think
for a second it was going to be 41-13.
They need something to keep their season alive. Again, at home, big game. I don't know. I'll take App.
I don't think it matters what they need. I don't think they're one of the two best teams in the conference. I think they're solidly number 3. Now, if Coastal has some sort of hiccup and they lose 2 games and or 3 games or whatever to end the year, I don't know how that would happen. But App will be there to like fill that spot. But I think they're very solidly the 3rd best team in the conference, which isn't a knock. But I can't with good conscience say that Chase Bryce is going to go out and beat Coastal. I just can't. Like after what I saw.
Well, you know, technically. So, walk me through this. If App beats Coastal and App wins out, even if Coastal wins out, wouldn't they be tied?
No. Because App would have the tiebreaker. The head-to-head wins the tiebreaker.
Well, right. So how would they not be tied? They would each have 1 conference loss.
Right, but the head-to-head win would be the tiebreaker. So if App won, they would have the tiebreaker win over Coastal, and they would go to the conference title game.
Okay, so if App wins and then they both win out, App goes to the title game.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
It's all about,
tiebreaker. I'm hearing everybody say, oh, you know, Coastal has to lose twice, blah, blah, and I'm like, why?
That's assuming that, like, I think that was assuming that App beat Louisiana last week.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
If they both only have 1 conference loss and App beats Coastal, App has the tiebreaker. I was
confused. Whoever, to put it simply, whoever wins this game makes the, you know, holds their own, controls their own destiny is essentially how it goes. Because whoever wins this game, if Coastal wins this game, it's pretty much a wrap. Like, oh, we know who's going to the title game.
It is.
Now, if App wins, the problem then becomes, can App win the rest of their games without tripping? Well, and that's kind of a challenge in itself, given what we saw last week. So I just think Coastal, man, I don't think they've lost a step since last year. If anything, I feel like they're more focused. I think this is Chadwell's last year in, you know, at Coastal. I think he's going to move on after this year and take a bigger, better job. So I think he's got them locked in. I think they're going to beat App.
Fair enough. Thursday night, Jonesboro, Arkansas. 5-1 Louisiana, 1-5 Arkansas State. 6:30 ESPNU. Louisiana, an 18-point favorite. Louisiana covers and then some.
Easy.
Louisiana because covers and then
Georgia
some.
Southern beat them by 26. I mean, if you guys are in the market for scoring points, like, you found the right team because they're willing to give it up. So
right.
Let me see. Hold on. What's the over-under?
Over-under 70.
Over-under 70. I'd be inclined to take the over, but the problem is I would have questions about whether they could score on y'all's defense is my only question.
They have the 5th best passing offense in the country.
Yeah, but you got to understand, like, the process in which that passing offense happens.
Well, yeah, like, it's because they're always playing from behind.
Correct, but they also played Georgia Southern, who has one of the worst passing defense in the country, and they threw three picks, including a pick six. So you kind of have to like analyze, like, are you guys going to let them get to the point where James Blackman throws for 335 yards?
James Blackman's not going to play.
Okay.
He's out for
Lane
the year.
Hatcher then.
Yeah.
Is Lane Hatcher going to get to the point where he gets to throw for almost 400 yards? Because if not,
probably.
But if you guys play conservative ball control, then I don't want anything to do with the over. Now, if you guys are ripping off chunk touchdowns on every possession, then sure, it's in play. But
I think we're going to stick to what we're good at and run the damn ball.
Yeah, but that's what I mean is that there's a difference between like 3 yards in a cloud of dust or being like, oh, there's a 76-yard touchdown on every possession. Right. So, like, that's why when Georgia Southern played Arkansas State, I was like, give me the over, and it was 66, and there were 50 points at halftime. And I was like, right, yep. Because neither team has any defense, so both teams are just scoring at will.
Right.
So, just give me Louisiana 18. Just give it to me. Like, I think they cover. I think they win by 35. Ooh.
God, I hope so.
That'd Arkansas nice. State's that bad, man. Like, as okay nice. As their offense is, their defense is one of the worst because, in the country.
You know, I've said it before. I host my own Louisiana podcast, and last night we interviewed a Arkansas State writer, and he talked about how their fan base considers us their biggest rival. He said, dude, Arkansas State hates you guys. So, yeah, I mean, if we beat our rival by 35, freaking give it to me.
Were you like that Don Draper meme where he's like, I don't think about you at all?
Well, no, because honestly, we consider them a rival. I mean, up until 3 years ago, Louisiana-Arkansas State determined who won the West.
Right, yeah.
So,
and,
I mean...
And now it's just
it,
like
a it cakewalk. naturally became a rivalry game.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean we can honestly, I consider Arkansas State more of a rival than ULM.
Okay.
Because I mean ULM it just sits on the island of misfit toys, and
maybe not for much longer.
I mean maybe not, and I would love for ULM to become, you know, our big rival again. I miss those days. But, yeah. I mean, it just hasn't been that way for the last few years. Two games this Saturday. To be honest, I'm not intrigued by either one. Texas State, Georgia State from Atlanta. Georgia State minus 10.5. I'll take that.
I'll take Texas State plus 10.5.
I mean...
This is
a toss-up game.
I think 10.5 is a lot of points to give to a team like Texas State, which could win outright any week.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, there are three teams in the Sun Belt that I would say Texas State will not win outright against, and it's the top three, and then everyone else I feel like is in danger of getting upset by the Bobcats.
And then your last one, ESPN3, 6 o'clock from Monroe.
ULM. See, I'm actually interested in this game. And the only reason I say that is because I feel like this is going to be a real measuring stick for what UL Monroe is.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if they roll over and let South Alabama pet their bellies like a dog, then I'm going to be like, okay, well, maybe those two wins, they got a little out ahead of their skis and they weren't really ready for the moment. But if they even, I mean, if this game comes down to like a field goal at the end, South Alabama's a pretty good team. So like, if they're fighting to the bitter end or they win outright in this game, like, I'm going to be very impressed with what ULM is doing.
The line is 13.5, South Alabama. Give me the Warhawks. And that
wouldn't bet this because I don't know what Warhawks team I'm getting, but I would be inclined to agree.
And
that's the reason is because like this is the true gut check for ULM.
That pains me to say. But give me the Warhawks.
I don't think
I don't think they win, but it'll be closer than 13.5.
Even if it's 10s, I mean, even if it's a 2-score game,
yeah,
like it, 10 points isn't that much. And like I said, like South Alabama's played some good defense this year. So,
all right, let's do it. Let's have this conversation. Billy Napier's not going to Baton Rouge.
I don't know.
He's not.
I mean, I brought this up before we started recording. I could see LSU wanting a bigger splash of a hire because, I mean, to be honest, like
in your, okay. So let me ask you this. Let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
I agree with you. I think LSU does want that splash hire. So let me ask you, who's the splash hire?
Kendall Briles at Arkansas.
It's interesting because out of everything that I have read from local media, especially Baton Rouge media, he is not a name that comes up.
See, logically, that's what makes sense to me because it's like you and the reason I've been advocating and I wish, like my hope is that Georgia Southern could end up with him is because the universal you unequivocally know that is Kendall Briles' offense at Arkansas. Yep. Like, there is no one else coming close to calling offensive plays at Arkansas. It's his offense. Yep. The reason that I'm more hesitant on Jeff Lebby at Ole Miss is because I think that's
Lane Kiffin's offense.
Yep. And I think he's just kind of being the understudy to Kiffin, whereas Sam Pittman's not calling plays at Arkansas.
Right.
That would be the logical choice because it's like you've got Power 5 offensive coordinator who has a track record of being successful. Someone's going to come poach him at some point. Like, he's just not going to stay at Arkansas for his entire life.
He will be a head coach.
Right.
No, you know, the name I'm hearing a lot is Mel Tucker from Michigan State. He was at LSU with Nick Saban back in the early 2000s. You know, he's finally,
I think it's like a year too early for that.
I agree.
I think Mel Tucker, I'm impressed with what he's done with Michigan State, but I'd want to see it for more than 1 year because there's been a lot of coaches that have come in and been really hot for a year.
And then,
Gene Chizik. And, when they have that 1 year, they're great. And then after that year, they're trash. So it's like I'd like to see it for 2-3 years down the line and be like,
and then
okay, I know that guy's gonna be a good head coach.
LSU fans swear that they can get Jimbo to come back to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I've been seeing that. I don't get that at all.
No way. Why would Jimbo leave A&M? He's got a top 25 program contending in the SEC. They just gave him a stadium renovation to what was already one of the top stadiums in college football. He's probably got the most loyal.
Can I tell you why the reason is out there? Can I tell you why? Because you could have asked the same question with FSU. I mean, think about it. It's like what he won a national championship at Florida State. Why would he leave Florida State to go to A&M?
The SEC.
If you've won a national championship, who cares at that point? You can win it at any Power 5 conference. Who cares if you're winning it at Oregon or Ohio State or USC or A&M? Like, it's all the same at that point. That team he had that won the national championship at Florida State is like one of the most, if you go back and look, it's like one of the most stacked teams there have ever
that
been.
He had
22 starters on both sides of the ball go to the NFL and start.
That was a bad word. I'm sorry. Let me not say that. That team was very impressive.
But like that's what I'm saying is like what makes if you were a national championship contending team, what makes that different from another Power 5 school that's also a national championship? I there may have been off the field stuff that played into it. I've heard a lot of things that were the reason that he moved on that had nothing to do with the football program, and you and I could probably talk about that like off this podcast, but those were the reasons that I heard that he moved on, not because it was a lateral like one-to-one move, which is what it was from a football perspective. Now, I don't understand going from an SEC school to an SEC school. Unless you were going like Dan Mullen, where you're like, I have a lower tier SEC school here, I have a higher tier with a more athletic budget SEC school here. If you're going from Vanderbilt to LSU, I get it.
Right.
I don't get going from A&M to LSU. That seems lateral and like you're just starting over again.
For sure. But again, you know, I don't think Billy Napier takes that job for a couple reasons. Number one, I don't think he's ready.
Well,
for that kind of jump,
in the outcome that you laid out, wouldn't it be ideal for Mel Tucker to take the job? Hypothetically, we're just doing hypotheticals. Right. Mel Tucker takes the LSU job. Billy Napier goes up to Michigan State and takes his spot.
Correct. I think Billy Napier needs to take a ACC job, Big Ten job, maybe even a Big 12 job.
Right.
Before he's jumping into the clinches of the SEC.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready for the SEC. He's not.
I mean, also if and this is no knock against you guys, but I also think if he was in the position and you guys were in the position that Luke Fickell was at Cincinnati, where you are a top four team in the country right now, I think he's probably considered for the LSU job, but because you guys are a top G5 school and not a top five school in the country,
right,
probably also takes him out of the running for that job.
Secondly, LSU will not swallow their pride enough to hire quote unquote little brothers head coach.
Well, I mean, my opinion just goes back to the splash hire thing.
Right.
That I don't think he's a big enough name right now. Like the brand equity with his name is just not there.
And then lastly, I think he's going to wait and see what happens with the college football playoff. Let me tell you why. Coach like Billy Napier wants to go to bigger and better schools to win a national title. Or at least have the opportunity to play for one, right?
Right.
Depending on what happens with the college football playoff, and depending on if Louisiana can sustain the success that they currently have, wouldn't Louisiana have that chance to play for a national title?
No.
I mean,
I hate to say it, but like, look at the dominoes that had to fall for Cincinnati to get in the position that they're currently in.
Well, agreed. But my point is, if you have a 12-team playoff and you're the top G5 team in the country, you're going to be in the playoffs, right?
But that's the problem too, is there's not even a guarantee you're going to be the top G5 team. Like, what happens if, okay, let's say all is equal, everybody's on an even slate. Let's say Cincinnati is a G5 team right now that's very, very good. No one's arguing that. And you guys are very, very good. It comes down, because you don't play each other, to who had the higher preseason ranking. If Cincinnati has a higher preseason ranking and they have the same record as you guys, they're going to take that spot. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, if Coastal has the same ranking as you guys and they win the Sun Belt, they're taking that spot or whatever. You know, whatever. There's a lot of variables in play where it's like, if you go to a Power 5 school, pretty much, like, you just win your conference, you're in. Because, like, unless you lose three games and win your conference like a Pac-12 school, I think what Napier needs to do is sit and wait and see what coach leaves to go to USC. He might take that job, because who's in the running?
The job of the coach that leaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because who's in the running of the USC job right now? Like, I haven't heard anybody's name.
Who? Yeah. Exactly.
So if they poach, the only coach I could see him not taking their job out from under them, like after they leave, is Luke Fickell at Cincinnati.
You know what job makes me nervous right now?
That's an equal move.
You know what job makes me nervous to lose Billy Napier?
What?
If North Carolina moves on from Mac Brown.
I don't think they're going to move on after 2 years or however many years he's been there. That they were just good last year.
That would make me nervous. That is a job.
They were just good last year. I just don't see it.
That is a job that Billy Napier could go to right now and have success.
I think Mac Brown would have to move on from North Carolina.
Yeah. Which
I don't think North Carolina, because North Carolina has wanted to be a competitive football school for so long. I think it can eat one bad year.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And I'm struggling, other than Orgeron, like I'm struggling and the USC job, which I mentioned, but I'm struggling to see what Power Five like major schools are going to be out of a coach this year and who's going to be looking for a replacement. But that's what I mean is like, what if Mel Tucker ends up at USC? Right. Napier takes the Michigan State job regardless.
Yeah. And you know, you brought up Ed Orgeron. One thing I want to say before we move on to our final topic. I was reading his separation agreement, which, by the way, that's the first thing that's unheard of. A separation agreement. Mm-hmm. One of the clauses in his agreement is that he is to attend one event a year for the next 4 years as a representative of LSU.
I would be like, I'm going to attend a football game in the president's box.
That's the best analogy that I have heard is from a friend of mine. He said, you know what that reminds me of? Hey, honey, I know we're getting a divorce, but will you still come to my office Christmas party as my wife for the next 4 years? Like,
you know what it reminds me of too is like, this isn't a one-to-one, but like the Detroit Lions recently got in trouble because they asked Calvin Johnson to show up to some events for them. And then they decided not to pay him. And then they were like, and then he's like, well, I will acknowledge that the Lions exist once they pay me the back pay that I'm owed. That's kind of what it reminds me of. It's like,
yeah,
it's that, but like, they're going to pay him because they have to pay him contractually. But
like how are you going to fire a guy? Because regardless of what it's going to be labeled, you fired him. How are you going to fire a guy and then say, hey, spend the next 4 years representing us?
What if, and it has to be in the offseason, because like, what if he gets another job? Like, what right. if he's an offensive line and coach? And then at USC?
Say he gets another job. How does he explain that to the other university? Hey, I've got to go be a representative of another school.
It has to be in the offseason. That's the only explanation.
Like,
or he does all four in 1 year and then gets it. It's one event a year
for the next 4 years.
All right. So in baseball season, he shows up to one baseball game, goes like waves to the crowd, and then he just dips out.
That's got
to
be the only way, because
yeah.
Otherwise, that's, oh man.
He's not, no, if he gets another offensive line coaching job or whatever, or assistant head coach, like he's not coming during football season. Forget it.
Very quickly, last topic that we will cover, conference realignment. Major, major news yesterday. The American Athletic Conference, it actually was updated today. Six applications have officially been filed to join the American Athletic Conference by Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, UTSA, Rice, and UAB. This is monumental, not only in the landscape of college football, but for the Sun Belt. Because now this opens the door for the Sun Belt to make that expansion move that they've been looking to make since conference realignment really started over the summer.
And it's pretty telling which teams didn't get into the American or whatever.
Right. Mike Oresko decided to go for TV market, which...
Rice!
I don't understand, because Kusa did that a couple years ago when they brought in... who'd they bring in? Who were the teams that when they brought in FAU and all those schools into Conference USA because, oh my God, Boca Raton, who doesn't love Boca Raton? And how did that work out for them? 5 years later, FAU's jumping ship.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Going for market is not, it's been proven time and time again that that's not the way you should do it. And conference commissioners still continue to do it.
Well, I told you this before we started recording. The funny thing is, you know, and I know, if the American wanted to walk over to the Conference USA and the Sun Belt and wanted to take their pick of the litter from each conference and handpick who they wanted, they could have done so without a single
Nobody hesitation. Would have batted an eye.
No, but it's kind of wild to pick, like what you said, like market. And that's why I yelled like Rice, because I'm like, what
does Rice bring to the table other than Houston table? Other than Houston, Texas? Nothing.
Yeah. Like,
academics. But
that's the thing too, is like, if you wanted Texas as a market, you've already got UTSA, who's, I know college football success is fleeting. I know this could be a 1 year wonder. You never know.
Shout out our editor, Jared Kalmus, on this one.
Right. But that's the Texas market.
Right.
And it's no, like,
I'm with you.
Why?
Maybe academics. Rice covers your academics.
They're the Vanderbilt of.
Yeah, they're the Vanderbilt of.
The American.
Right. Sure. I mean, yeah, they definitely cover your academic.
But goals. if they had looked at the conferences and said, regardless of market, we're going to take the best, the most supported programs from the Sun Belt and the Conference USA, and they had walked over and said, give me UAB, give me, I know they didn't do this, we'll talk about this, I know this is who they left out, they said, let's take Marshall, let's take App, let's take Georgia Southern, let's take Louisiana, like, you know, they went down the line like that, and we're like, let's take these teams, Coastal, like, let's take all these teams and just add them to our conference. No one would have, like you said, no one would have batted an eye, but it's so weird the way that they went about doing it. I think it's both causing a death knell, I guess, for the Conference USA, and it's also, I think, going to hurt the American long term.
For sure. According to social media rumors, it's looking like Marshall and Southern Miss could soon be joining the Sun Belt.
I think they are. I think it's inevitable.
I think that's a positive move for the conference. I do.
For sure.
In multiple sports, not just football.
Here's my question. Like, let's not go any further than that. Let's just say they add those two teams. The Sun Belt's not non-questioning the best G5 conference, correct?
Agreed.
Like, it's there's no like, well, you know, I mean, with the way that the Big 12 is poaching those American schools, like, they're the best G5 conference hands down then, right?
Yeah, no, agreed. I mean, think about it. App, Louisiana, Coastal, Marshall. Like, right there. That's in four teams of that caliber. That's an insane conference. Insane. It is today's American.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that'd be a huge move for the conference. Obviously, we can talk about that more as things get updated, which I think will happen in the not so distant future. I think probably in the next month you will hear major news on that end. And obviously here on the Underdog Dynasty Sun Belt podcast, we'll keep you updated. When we know things, we will let you guys know as well. Brian, man, before we go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, on Twitter, you can find me at WatchTheStones.
Find me at MiguezMatt. Like I said, we'll be back next week to break down these games. We're getting into November, which means football just gets a hell of a lot more entertaining in the Sun Belt. Thank you for joining us this week. This has been another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sun Belt Podcast. We'll be right back.